And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us from the American Cancer Society, we have Sean Gines, Senior Manager, and welcome, Sean.
Well, thank you, Laura. Thank you for having me today.
Well, we're going to talk about daffodils in just a little bit, because believe it or not, spring will eventually come back for good, not this
right,
weird...
one could hope.
Yeah, well, not this weird weather that we have, but it's been a while since the American Cancer Society has been in here. So let's have at her for the next 30 minutes and talk about what is the state of cancer right now. Do you have an opening statement you'd like to make?
Yeah, in fact, thanks. We actually just kind of changed up our tagline recently. You may be seeing it on the TV, on the radio, hearing about it. The American Cancer Society is actually fighting all cancers from every angle. So we're attacking cancer from every angle. So kind of a unique approach. We're being aggressive about what we're doing and not just kind of sitting back on our laurels and waiting for stuff to happen. We're actually going out and trying to do something about it. And when I say we, there are quite a bit of us that are out there working towards this. There's, of course, your local staff, which are out supporting you, but we're actually a force of over 2 million volunteers across the United States, and we're all working for the same common cause to get rid of cancer so that someday no one has to know what the word cancer is, and it's just in a history book. And, you know, we can learn about what it was and not what it is, so to speak.
What is the role of the American Cancer Society in this battle?
Sure. So we do a bunch of different stuff at the American Cancer Society, ultimately hoping to, you know, save lives in the end. And I kind of always joke with everyone when I meet them. I like to remember what we do by my ears. And it's our education, our advocacy, and our research and service that we do. Kind of a little fun thing to kind of remember some stuff by. And like I said, for the education, you know, we're educating people on how to stay well and how to get well. And, it, you know, if they do get the unfortunate diagnosis of you have cancer, that we can direct them in the proper direction to get treatment, to get them what they need. And, of course, the A for the advocacy that we're fighting not only at the local level, but at the national level for things that are happening and going on, and pushing for legislation to cover those who aren't covered by insurance, and to make sure that even if you do have insurance, that we're providing legislation that encourages those, your health insurance, to provide treatments or screenings or that kind of stuff for you. Research, obviously, we put a lot of money into research, and one nice thing, or one cool thing, actually, that the American Cancer Society does is we invest a lot of money into the new researchers, the researcher with the kind of the off-the-wall idea that maybe hasn't been thought of before, because it's going to be a new idea that cures cancer, because we haven't found it yet. So the current ones aren't working. So we need something to kind of get us out of the mold and figure out what are we doing, what can we do differently, and how can we look at cancer differently to kind of move along. And lastly, the S, which is for the service. There are different services we provide, whether it be Road to Recovery, which we can talk about a little bit more too, Look Good, Feel Better, in which we help people who are going through treatment look their best, because lots of times when you're going through treatment, you lose your hair, your skin's not quite perfect like you'd like it to be. So we can show people how to kind of look their best and feel their best. But there's lots of services that we provide, and it's really, if someone is diagnosed with that diagnosis of you have cancer, we just encourage them, the first stop should be to give us a call. And the phone number is 1-800-ACS-2345, or if you want to get on the computer and look stuff up and get some information that has been tested and tried and true, you can go to cancer.org. So that's kind of the American Cancer Society in a nutshell. So we can kind of talk about some more of the other things.
Well, so now let's parse that down. And education, obviously, is really important, because unless you have that genetic defect, if you were cursed with something along those lines, cancer is one of those things that we can pretty much take into our own hands to prevent a vast majority of it, can't we?
Yeah, in fact, there are a lot of different cancers out there that we're learning that there are things you can do to either prevent your being diagnosed with them or increase the likelihood that you won't get diagnosed with them. One of the significant ones being colon cancer, and we encourage everyone, you know, to go out and get their colonoscopy, especially when they hit certain, you know, designated age brackets. And they're talking with their doctor about whether they should be getting screened for different things. And colonoscopies, and obviously people don't like to get them. They don't like to go there.
I like them. It's the best sleep you can have.
I can't imagine why, right? Just knock me out. But it's important, and it's something that, while not maybe the easiest to the palate in the brain, it's fairly easy for you to go and do. And it can dramatically increase your risk of catching things early so that they can be removed or different treatments. And the earlier we catch any type of cancer, the better off we are. And we have a better diagnosis of getting to the point of we're in remission and we're no longer considered having cancer.
Go ahead.
And the second thing is just eating healthy, and kind of goes along with the colon, is just we're learning that what we put into our bodies, and we've kind of known this all along, that if we're putting good stuff in, we should get good stuff in return. So we want to be making sure that we're eating healthy, doing the fruits and veggies like we've always been told growing up, that we want to, you know, limit certain intakes of certain things, fatty foods, and that kind of stuff. And ultimately, like, the education, educating ourselves, even if it's cigarettes, which they're in the news a lot, you know, recently and over the past many years, just the stop smoking. So there's so many things that we're learning that seemed to be the norm years ago that we're learning maybe not aren't the best things for you to be doing these days.
Smoking, and that affects not just colorectal, but almost every cancer. Isn't that affected by smoking at some point?
Yeah, it seems like smoking kind of plays a part, obviously, in lung cancer, but it increases your risk of other cancers as well. I mean, you're putting not good things into your body, so we want to make sure that what we're putting in is good for us, and all the chemicals and whatnot that are in a cigarette, it's going to play a role in hurting us. Whether it be our lungs, whether it be our colon, whether it be any other part of your body, that, and even if you are diagnosed with lung cancer, and unfortunately a lot of cancers metastasize to other areas, so it kind of starts you down a road that you don't want to go down if you don't have to. So, you know, you don't have to smoke cigarettes. So we hope that people are making the choice to not go down that road. And if they have, we have resources that they can get a hold of, and we can help them stop.
What is the first lesson of education in the E of ears when somebody says, well, what should I do? Well, are there handy tips or some great acronym like that you should just remember other than, well, put down the dang cigarette and start eating better?
It really comes down to a lot of that, just taking care of yourself. A lot of it is also going to your doctor regularly, regular checkups. We have recommended screening guidelines for various age groups. For both men and women. So just kind of really taking ownership of your own health and making sure that you're focused on being the best you that you can be. And so that we can ultimately decrease the amount of people who are diagnosed with cancer. And granted, I think you had mentioned it earlier that, you know, certain people are predisposed to cancer, depending on their family and genetics and that kind of stuff. And we're even learning more and more about that as the time goes on, that certain things play into certain types of cancer. So just really taking ownership of your own health and doing the best that you can do for you and making that the best result, hopefully, in the future.
Have you had enough years of people actually listening to you that you can see results from these kind of campaigns of stop smoking, stop eating the fats, maybe exercising, doing the, you know, the years of colonoscopies and mammographies, sure, et cetera, et cetera? Are we seeing results?
In fact, we are indeed seeing results. In fact, we have 15.5 million cancer survivors that are alive today in the United States. And actually, the cancer death rate has dropped by 26%, so more than a quarter since its peak in 1991. So the things we're encouraging people to do to get out there and, you know, to take charge of their health, it's working. So people are dying less often. We're catching things sooner. We're getting things treated and getting people back to a healthy state instead of the diagnosis of you have cancer, which is meant a death sentence in the past. So we're making leaps and bounds. And in fact, unfortunately, in Delaware, actually more than 6,000 people will be newly diagnosed with cancer, and over 2,000 will die from cancer. So we're trying to bring those numbers down. I mean, 26% is a good chunk, but there's so much that we can do and little things that we can do, even just the eating healthy and that kind of thing, that we can do to help increase our risk tremendously on being healthy in the future and not getting the cancer diagnosis.
I'm going to guess that a lot of the reason that 26% increase is that we're catching cancers earlier and earlier when they are curable and before they've metastasized.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, the sooner we catch, like you mentioned the colonoscopies, if we find a polyp or we find an abnormality when they're in doing the colonoscopy, they can remove it instead of it not being known that it's in there and then causing problems down the road. So if we can get in there and get rid of the problem, it's a whole lot easier to deal with and then having it affect your colon, have it, you know, and then spread elsewhere to within your body, so which is harder to treat and pinpoint.
Now, let's move over to advocacy.
Sure.
And when we talk about advocacy, are insurance people listening to you? Is the federal government, state governments, et cetera, are they listening to what you're asking for, whether it be restrictions on smoking or ages that you can sell something or this or that and all that? Do they get it?
Yeah, they over time get it. I mean, obviously, there's more than one agenda out there at any point in time, even ours versus someone else who's out there and just different health organizations. But overall, as we're pushing for these different legislative measures and talking to our legislators to get things pushed along, that they are listening, that they're changing things. Even something as simple as the Clean Indoor Air Act here in Delaware is a result of legislation and stuff that we've pushed for in the past. So when you go out and, you know, you're at a restaurant and you want to have a nice restaurant or a nice meal, you don't have to worry about the person next to you smoking. So there are things that we can do that kind of seem simple, but just take a little bit of effort and a little bit of nudging. And we turn to our volunteers a lot, quite frequently, for a lot of that, to reach out to their senators, to reach out to their representative, and encourage them to make certain policies or certain legislation to encourage people, for that example, to, you know, to not smoke when they're in restaurants because it's now an illegal offense. So just trying to make the world a healthier place for us. And so they are ultimately listening to us and getting them to invest money in certain mission aspects, encouraging insurance companies to provide certain treatments, to encourage particularly screenings, that screenings be covered by your insurance so that you are getting that colonoscopy, that you're not putting it off because, oh, well, insurance doesn't cover that. So we're trying to get rid of the things, the barriers that are in your way, so that you have the opportunity to be healthy and to stay healthy and not get that diagnosis.
I think everybody who ever went to law school knows that there was a term, and it's called, loathsome disease, and cancer was one of them. And the stigma of it was, that was years ago, there was an actual stigma on the diagnosis of cancer. And today it's almost going in that same direction when we're talking about insurability,
right,
and even employability in some cases.
Exactly.
Is this going to be an issue as we move forward, especially if ACA restrictions on prior conditions,
right,
if it continues on?
I think so. And we're pushing to keep and make sure that, you know, when you're applying for a job or you're, you know, or even applying for your medical insurance, that you have the ability to get the insurance that you need and not be judged or based, you know, the decision being based on stuff that's happened in the past. So hopefully we can get it to where that if you have the need and you need the treatment, that you can ultimately get the treatment that you need. And hopefully that it's not, that there isn't someone out there being the barrier to your treatment.
This is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us is Sean Gines, who is a senior manager with the American Cancer Society. If you'd like to reach out to them, call them at 1-800-ACS-2345, American Cancer Society, ACS-2345, or online cancer.gov. org, and all of the information that we talk about is there as well, including the checklists, et cetera, and tips that you have, and you can find it all there, cancer.org. And let's move over. So the Cancer Society has, over the course of, you know, its existence, $4.5 billion poured into research.
Right.
And you said that there, where's this research going on? Is it everywhere? Is it local? And do you play nice with other organizations that are also pumping money in here?
Of course. And actually, it's kind of a little bit of all of that, actually. We do invest money nationwide, obviously, of that the $1 billion. But we do have money right here in the state of Delaware. We have researchers at AI DuPont Children's Hospital, and we have researchers at the University of Delaware that receive grant funding from the American Cancer Society to work on their research and to try to find that cure. And there's all, just all kinds of different things, and I mentioned a little earlier that we like to fund the early researchers, the ones that they probably can't go to the government and say, I want to try this, because they don't have the proven track record, but we think they have an awesome idea, and we want to make sure that that idea is tried out, because it's ultimately going to be a new idea that's going to find the cure. It's not going to be an old idea. Otherwise, we would hopefully be at the point where we don't have the diagnosis anymore. But there's just so much going on, and we funded more than 24,000 scientists with that billion, or the $4.5 billion since 1946. That's a lot of people doing a lot of cool things and trying things out.
Are they looking at preventing the cancer from ever starting with, say, a vaccine? Because, well, we are starting to look at vaccines now, and there's the HPV vaccine available. Or is it treating it once you find out? Or is it even in just finding new ways of detecting cancer?
It's actually a wide range of stuff. And actually, now that if you brought up the HPV, we're actually going to be embarking on a big push and a big education aspect to encourage people to get the HPV vaccine. And you may have heard it's for girls in their early teenage years, but we're also finding that it's actually boys and girls in their early teen years. And it can help prevent the HPV vaccine or the HPV virus in the future. So we're kind of doing a little bit of everything. So there's a whole lot more about that rolling out this summer as we really kind of embark on that. Just kind of whereas colonoscopies helped bring down the occurrence of colon cancer, we're finding that the vaccine can do the same thing. And we're really thinking that HPV could be a link to the cervical cancer and all certain different types of cancers that are tied to that, that we could ultimately get rid of those cancers, so almost eliminate those cancers, so they're not even a concern going forward. So if we can get rid of one, we can take what we've learned from getting rid of one and maybe apply that to other areas in the body. So that's kind of a neat thing. A lot of I actually had the opportunity to meet one of our researchers. She's up in the Philadelphia market. She's actually working on people sticking and adhering to their medicines and their treatments. Because even if we have the best treatment and the best medicine, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're not taking your medicine or you're not going to your treatment, then it doesn't matter what the treatment was. And it could be the treatment that cures you of your cancer. But if you're not taking it and following your guidelines or your doctors and your treatment team, then it ultimately doesn't even matter what we come up with. So there's a lot of studies into that as well. So, I mean, we have people out there who are looking at all aspects of, so not necessarily the drug, but are we taking the drugs and how can we make sure that people are sticking to things? And so just kind of the wide gamut. So all kinds of stuff.
Now then, so I am someone who is diagnosed. My husband or my child or my mom has just been diagnosed with cancer. What are some of the services that you do offer for them? And is cancer.org the first place one should go when you get that word, when you get it applied to you?
And absolutely. Cancer.org, if you call the 800 number, the 800-ACS, 2345. I encourage everyone that I talk to, even friends, family, the first thing that I tell them in return, that if they know someone who's been diagnosed, is to have them call. The person on the other end of that telephone when they call, and keep in mind, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's always someone there to answer that phone call when you call and you say, my mom's been diagnosed, I've been diagnosed, I know someone who needs help, can you help them? So there's always someone there. And that's what they do all like day in and day out. They help people. They have access to our resources and our databases across the United States. So if you call in and you need help getting to your treatment, or you need help navigating your health insurance, because we know that's not the easiest thing to do these days, you know, making sure things are covered, or even just how to navigate that system. So there's just so much that they can help you with. And you can start with cancer.org, but I encourage everyone to ultimately make that phone call and talk to the person. It's going to be a person that's on the other end of the line, and they will help you out tremendously.
There are a lot of options, which could be good or could be bad. If someone gets the diagnosis today, whether to try this treatment, that doctor, what will my insurance cover if I wish to go to one of these cancer treatment centers and it's nowhere near my home, et cetera. How does someone navigate all of this?
So when they call and then they get the help trying to figure out where they need to go, we can help point them in direction of certain doctors, how to navigate what fits into their health insurance plan that they currently have, getting them to their treatment. And you mentioned one cool thing that we have. So say, for example, we're in Delaware, but maybe you need to go to a treatment facility that's in Texas, or you need to go up to New York for treatment because the best doctor for whatever your diagnosis is not in Delaware. We have what's called a Hope Lodge, and we actually – the money that the American Cancer Society fundraises actually goes towards funding the Hope Lodge so that a cancer patient and their caregiver can go stay at this Hope Lodge near their treatment for free. So that's one less thing that you have to worry about when you get that diagnosis. There's a ton of things going through your mind, getting your treatment. Am I going to live? Like, there's just so much. So if we can take one, what would seem simple, like a bed at night, off your plate, then that's one awesome thing that we can do. And going back to that adherence to your treatment, if you're near your treatment, you're more likely to go to your treatment.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there are 2 million volunteers, and that's probably the feet on the ground that does all of this work, isn't it?
That certainly is. It's not myself. I would love to, but it's not myself.
So what are you looking for in a volunteer?
We can take a volunteer that has a wide range of abilities or time frame. So I mentioned the Hope Lodge. They have volunteers to help them in the Hope Lodge. We don't have one locally, but if people want to volunteer and go down and maybe make meals for those staying in the treatment centers, they can do that. One big thing that we look for around here are rides to treatment as part of our Road to Recovery program. So if you can't get to your treatment, or you're stuck at home, or you have no way of getting there, you're not getting your treatment. And we need everyone to get the treatment that they deserve and that they need. So one of the things that we do is the Road to Recovery program. And that, of course, that's accessed through our phone number and website. So someone can call in and request a ride saying, I can't get to my treatment on a certain date. And we have a network of drivers that we coordinate with that will go and pick them up and take them to the treatment and wait until they're done and take them home. And of course, we're always looking for drivers because there's just so many times that we need people to go to treatment. And of course, people are taking, maybe they have a really long lunch break that they volunteer during the time. So during lunch, they can have quick trips to and from, or maybe it's someone who's retired. They have time that they can dedicate a couple afternoons to taking people to and from their treatment as well. So lots of different opportunities to volunteer. And of course, a lot of this doesn't happen with money, because money makes the world go round these days. So we have a lot of volunteers that help us do fundraising, whether it's through our Relay for Life events, our Making Strides Against Breast Cancer events, or just, and we'll talk about daffodils here shortly too, that there's just so many different ways that you can get involved with the American Cancer Society. So whatever your talent is, or, even whatever your time frame is, we can put it to work.
Now, let's talk about daffodils, and they are back. Yes. I've missed them. It used to be a rite of spring when the American Cancer Society daffodils would start showing
up.
Yes,
exactly. I feel like you knew it was spring because they arrived. Like, that was the sign. So we're excited to bring them back. We took a couple of years off, and I say we took a couple of years off, but we had a national vendor that kind of did some nationwide orders for them, but it's just such a local feel-good event, an opportunity for us to impact so many that it we really felt that it's great to bring it back to the local community and really make an impact here locally in Delaware, the Delmarva Valley. It's a feel-good event. Not that all of our events are, but when you see the flowers, and if you're giving it to someone maybe who was diagnosed, or you're planting a garden with them, there's just so many aspects to daffodils.
And of course, too, and it's also a conversation starter when you see them on somebody's desk. What is it? Well, American Cancer Society. Why? Because they need volunteers, money, and you should take and get yourself a colonoscopy.
Right. Yeah, because so March is colon cancer awareness month, so it ties in nicely to what's going on in March and encouraging people to get their colonoscopy so that they're not getting the ultimate diagnosis of you have colon cancer, but maybe you just have a polyp, so let's take care of that now. So it does. It's a great conversation starter. It's some nice publicity. Like, the American Cancer Society is doing good in our area, and we really want to, you know, brag about that and share that we're doing these awesome things. So let's, you know, have a good conversation about it.
You know what? We never did describe what the darn thing is. So tell us, what we buy daffodils.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So, yeah, the American Cancer Society Daffodils Days is a we are taking orders actually now. You could place an order for a bunch of cuts. So it would be the standard size daffodil. So it's 10 daffodils in a bunch. And they're for a suggested donation of $10. And then we also have what are called mini daffodils. And it's a pot of daffodil bulbs that when you get them, they just kind of look like grass. But once they get a little warm and get things going, they'll sprout up. And they're actually little mini daffodil flowers in the pot. So it's really cool. And we get a lot of people that get them. And they'll have a garden of hope. And they'll plant the daffodils either at a business or at their house. We have churches that do Gardens of Hope. And it's nice because you can add to them every year. So, you know, once they've bloomed and have gone their way, then, you know, and they're planted, they're going to come back next year and we can get more and add to the garden.
And how do we get these?
Sure. They're really easy to get. In fact, the easiest way is to call the local American Cancer Society office. The local number is 302-324-4227, and we can get you the information and the order forms to place the order. What we do is we encourage coordinators. So if you're at a business or you're at a school or you know, an organization, is to kind of take ownership and to be that lead volunteer and go around and say, hey, let's get an order of daffodils together and place a bulk order with us. And then we'll have the opportunity during the week of March 19th through the 20th. To pick up the daffodils. And if we have a large order, we can work on getting them to you as well. But so to kind of take that group order and give it to us, and we'll get it filled, and you'll be able to kind of welcome spring in your office with these wonderful daffodils.
And this is just one way you can support the American Cancer Society. I'm going to assume that one can also make a donation when you go to the website.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you visit, so kind of everything stems from the 800 number, cancer.org. So if you visit cancer.org and punch in your local zip code, a lot of our events will come up in your area, whether it be a Relay for Life, whether it be a Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, or if you just want to make a general donation to the American Cancer Society, you can do that online as well. We can help you with that at the local office if you stop by or give us a call. We can do that as well, in addition to or any daffodils that you would like to purchase and make a donation for. So, yeah, we're always willing to accept donations because it helps us, you know, with our mission. And ultimately, hopefully, one day we get rid of that ugly word, cancer.
Well, you're making strides, to borrow the line that you use in October when the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer goes down. We'll probably talk to you again at that point, obviously. Yep. But so if you'd like more information about absolutely everything that we have talked about today, the best thing to do, cancer.org, everything from the tips to staying healthy to how to reach the local office to order your daffodils through February the 5th, go to cancer.org. You can always call them. There's somebody on the other end 24 hours a day to answer your questions. If you've been diagnosed or a loved one or a friend has and you're looking for services or information or even insurance navigation help, call ACS2345. And for daffodils, go to cancer.org. You can get to the local office that way as well.
Yep.
And this is just for the Del Mar area?
No, the entire Northeast region. So we're kind of taking ownership of them this year. So yeah, pretty much anywhere in the listing area, if you are interested in daffodils, we can get you hooked up with whether if you're local or we can connect you with the office that's closest to you.
And here's where I say thank you to Sean Gines.
Thank you.
Senior Manager with the American Cancer Society. Again, cancer.org or 800-ACS-2345. And thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Anytime. Of course, if you joined us later, if you'd just like to give this a re-listen, you can find this show as a podcast at mix995wjbr.com. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.